good day, good gaming, and happy Thanksgiving to our friends here in the States. And guys, I just want to say how thankful I am for all of y'all listening all throughout the world. We don't have many listeners, but it's cool to see the geography of where everyone's at. So I just want to say thank you very much for sticking with the show for as long as you have. It truly is, for me as a host of a podcast, it's turned out to be such a great and fulfilling thing. I mean, number one, first and foremost, I get to record with my brother, Landon. I love the guy. We grew up together. You know, here we are 10 years later, still podcasting. It's a wonderful excuse just to hang out some more, this podcast business. But I've also learned over the 10 years, or nearly 10 years that we've been recording, that we have met so many great friends along the way. And I mean, there are so many. I'll just mention a few that are just off the top of my head that I just want to publicly thank. Just for sticking with us for so long. Dear friends of the show, Baxter, Craig Holland, Ferg, Gabe, Joe, Ken, Dave, Ludicrous Dave, Mega Matt, Nick DeMarco, Nick Eller, Ryan, The No Swear Gamer, Scully, Eric, Andy, Zach. There are so many others. Tara. So many other friends of the show, and then of course our brothers in podcasting, like Michael Kelso and Justin, Aaron and Nick. I'm just very, very grateful for all the wonderful friends I've met through podcasting. I'm just very, very blessed today, and I just want to thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for sticking with us. Hope you all enjoy the episode, and once again, for my friends here in the States, happy Thanksgiving. Good gaming, Retro Junkies, and welcome to another episode of the Retro Junkie Super Show. I'm your host, Rob, and join with me, as always, is my partner, my main man in retro gaming crime, Mr. Landon Long. How are you, Jose?
Hey, man, doing good. Getting ready for the big holiday coming up this week.
Yes, that's me too, man. It's so awesome to do a Thanksgiving show. We haven't done one in quite some time.
I know. We were just talking about that before we started, about how we just kind of crammed all the holidays into one last year.
That's right. I don't know if anyone remembers, but it was the the Hollow Thanksmas episode?
Hollow Thanksmas.
And it's so easy too, right? You just kind of... This is a busy time of year for everybody, and I remember last year we had full intentions on doing one, and just the busyness of life, work, and all that good stuff. It's so easy to miss a month or two. So, hey, we're doing pretty good, eh?
Hey, we're doing great. We're getting our act together, it seems like.
Absolutely. So, Landon came up with a topic for this one, and I think it is a wonderful topic. Basically, we're just going to go, this is a true wing-in episode, no notes or anything like that. Most, I mean, 90% of them. Our episodes are no notes anyway.
Turkey winging it.
There you go. And, you know, we're going to talk about just some games we're thankful for, some toys growing up, movies, anything that just comes to mind. This is kind of be a Thanksgiving buffet, if you will.
I like that.
Yeah. Of just, you know, random retro stuff that we're grateful for. So I vote we go to stands and we go ahead and get us some wings and let's go ahead and talk about it, eh?
Yeah, man. I hope he has better decorations this year, though. Those Indian decorations he had last year were a little racist.
I know, that Jose. He needs to get with the times. Jeez, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, really. I told him, I said, come on, Stan. It's not 1950 anymore. Those went out of style, like, during the Civil Rights Movement. Come on.
Oh, what a Jose. Let's get out of here.
All right.
What's this? A piece of toast? A pretzel stick? Popcorn? What blockhead cooked all this? What kind of a Thanksgiving dinner is this? Where's the turkey, Chuck? Don't you know anything about Thanksgiving dinners? Where's the mashed potatoes? Where's the cranberry sauce? Where's the pumpkin pie?
Oh man, that was a sweet parade, eh?
It was the
Macy's Hoser Parade.
Yeah, I know that big inflatable balloon of me riding a watermelon down down Wall Street was awesome. They really captured my childlike innocence.
That's the only float of the whole parade.
And here's the biggest float and the only float in the parade: Landon riding a watermelon.
Oh, that's good. Oh, you hoser. Oh, that one got me.
I'm trying to think. Let's see what your float would be. What would your float be?
I don't know, man. I can't top that.
I don't know. I think you like riding on that inflatable crocodile in your pool, like waving to everybody.
Oh, that'd be good. You remember. That's awesome.
I remember that. Man, I always wanted one of those crocodile floats. I thought those were so cool.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, yeah. They were great. And of course, you know, us being kids, it was popular within like the first week we got it.
Man, I could have rode down the river on one of those instead of a watermelon and been set for life.
Oh, gosh, I love it, man. Well, you know, see, now that we're at stands and everything, you know, speaking of watermelon, maybe you should get some watermelon-flavored wings, eh?
Ooh, that might be good. It's got a fruity essence.
Yeah, I'm going to do some, you know what? I might do some pumpkin pie-flavored wings. What do you say?
Ooh, that sounds good. I may do the turkey-flavored wings, which are really just turkey wings, with gravy and some potatoes.
Oh, that sounds... Hey, speaking of that, when you're having a Thanksgiving meal, what is your favorite dish? You know,
the
regular meal and the dessert.
You know, I've talked with my cousins about this. We're all big gravy fans for some reason, but my favorite is probably... I really like stuffing with gravy. Mm. Or turkey and dressing. Those are probably my two go-to. They're kind of similar.
Oh, that sounds good. Yes. My grandmother, Mime, she makes the best dressing. Now, here's something that I didn't know. This is a Southern thing, I think, right?
So yeah.
We call it up north, we call it stuffing. And in the South, it's dressing, right?
It's dressing, yes. Turkey and dressing. Like, we'll drive by, like, we actually just went to a little local place here down the road from our house the other night, and they had a big sign that said Thursday night special, turkey and dressing.
Ooh.
It was good. I got that. It was really good.
Oh yeah, it's so good. Yeah, she would make it, and she would cut it up into squares, and it would like congeal perfectly where you could just dish it out. Oh, it's the best.
Now, did you ever put gravy on it?
You know, I'm one of those weirdos. I like to mix most things, but I'm not crazy about gravy on my dressing,
dude.
I don't know why.
Gravy,
I know,
gravy on dressing
like
is where it's at.
But yeah, I'll mix everything with my mashed potatoes. I'll even mix cranberry sauce with my mashed
potatoes.
That's
not as bad as it's not as bad as you think it is. Like the first time I did it, I'm like, oh, this is going to be horrible. But it kind of evens itself out.
I agree. Yes. And the cream corn mix in.
Cream corn.
Oh, and just dipping a little bit of turkey into that mix. Oh, so good. And if I had to go with a dessert, my favorite dessert, I would say Mime's. Oh, she used to make a like pecan tort.
Ooh, I bet that was good.
Yeah, with a graham cracker crust. Oh, now I'm getting hungry, eh?
Dude, anything with pecans in it, I'm down for. Pumpkin pie, I don't really discriminate against the desserts because I'm like, man, all desserts are good. These are all good. Like, I never had a bad dessert at Thanksgiving, so I'm just like, oh, I like them all.
I know, and I'm a sweet tooth junkie, so I will try a little bit of everything. Yeah. And I need to correct myself. It had pecans on it, but it was a pistachio tort.
Oh, I bet that was good.
Oh, it was green and graham cracker crust, homemade whipped cream on top. Oh man, we got
to
stop.
Yeah, we're gonna have to go start digging around in the fridge here in a minute.
No kid. Well, if Stan's got anything up yet, that hoser, he's probably at least he's not got the racist decorations.
At least he doesn't have those racist Indian decorations up. You know what he told me, though?
No, what'd he tell you?
He said that he was thinking about getting rid of them this year, and I said, Stan, why? You've had those up forever, and you've already made everybody in town mad about them. He said, yeah, but the Cleveland Indians came by and offered me a lot of money for them.
Oh, Stan, always thinking about the almighty dollar. That hoser.
Yeah, I know. I'm
like,
Stan, you're going to sell out Thanksgiving just so that the Cleveland Indians can have some of their decorations. He's like, well, that's what they originally were. I just put pilgrim hats on them.
Oh, gosh. Well, guys, I guess we can start with this hose head.
Okay.
What is I guess we can go back and forth. What is one retro video game that you are grateful for this year, Jose? Oh, no, there's a blue slime. What's thy command? Oh, geez. Hey, guys. Rob hopping on here real fast. We had a couple of technical glitches at this part of the show. Landon dropped out, had to come back in, and a little bit of the conversation was cut out. So Landon's very first pick was Dragon Warrior for the NES and his earliest memories playing the game with his dad. So on that note, on with the show and cue the sweet Dragon Warrior music.
So, you know, he would help me read. I was just kind of learning how to read at that time. I was probably 4 or 5 years old when I got my copy of it. And he would help me with those old English words, the thy and thou and thee and all that. But we really got into playing it. And eventually, you know, I got old enough to where I could read it on my own. And I beat it. I took a summer and I'm like, you know, I'm going to beat this. So I finally beat it. And I showed him the end, and he's like, oh, well, that's what the end is, huh? He's like, well, definitely sets it up for some more. And I'm like, yeah, maybe they'll make some more. And little did I know, there was like, by the time I'd played it, there was like 2 other sequels out to it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, your dad's a fantasy guy, isn't he? Because I know he likes Star Wars.
He likes Star Wars. He had, I don't know where they're at, but he had a 1970 or 1980 like complete set of J.R.R. Tolkien from The Hobbit all the way up through The Lord of the Rings, like book set.
Oh, cool.
That came in like, they were paperbacks, and they came in like a little hard cardboard book holder. And the art and everything was by the same artist and everything. It was really cool.
Wow, yeah. That's something I never really knew about your dad till you started talking about him a little bit more on the show. That's really cool.
Yeah, like, I think that's kind of where I get my love of stuff like that from, is from him, because, you know, he liked Lord of the Rings. I got interested in Lord of the Rings by watching the old Disney Channel used to have like The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, like old cartoons on all the time, and he used to watch those and got really into them. And that was what he would read me before I would go to bed most nights, would be The Hobbit.
Oh, cool. Man, that's a good pick. Dragon Warrior, I remember my neighbor Dave had that one, and you're right. I kind of got a little lost in some of the language,
yeah.
The thou and the these and the vines, and I was like, I don't understand this, because I was probably 7 or 8 at the time when I started playing it. And I think if I had given it more time, I would have really gotten into it, but I was kind of impatient as a kid. I kind of was clueless, and I didn't have a manual or anything either, so it was a lot of wandering around, running into blue slimes, not knowing what to do. But a little bit later on, I would get some of the sequels. I ended up getting 2, and I think I even got 4.
Oh, nice.
I know. And then I ended up trading it in for another game many years later. And that was a trade-in regret of mine.
That fourth one, if you have the English version of that one's worth quite a bit of money now.
Yeah, like over $100. I saw it at CM Games for, it was a box copy, but it was over $150. It might have been even more than that.
I've got the third one. I found a physical copy of the third one, and I think, and it was several years ago, I think I gave $75 for it. It didn't come with anything other than the like the sleeve to protect the cartridge and the game. And I got to looking the other day, and that game's went up over $100 now, the third one.
Wow. I wonder why that is. Did they get a limited run, or were they later in the life cycle of the NES?
I think that was the reason for the fourth one, because the Super Nintendo was out really strong in America when the fourth one came out. And, you know, when the new Super Nintendo came out, they kind of started phasing out the marketing for the NES games and putting the NES games on the shelf, and a lot of people, you know, didn't really get a chance to see it because I think I read somewhere they had it out for just like a couple of months, and then the store started putting more and more Super Nintendo games out.
That makes sense. Yeah, that was a regret of mine. I don't even remember what I traded for. I bet you it might have been a PlayStation game or an N64 game, but I honestly cannot remember.
Bebe's Kids.
Bebe's, man, I'm not that. No, I would have remembered that. I'd have been like, are you kidding me?
Bebe's kids. Man, that game's all. No, that game's horrible. That's a game not to be thankful for.
You know, I think my cousin Jen, I remember she got a Super Nintendo back in the early 90s, and she ended up getting some great games. She got Super Mario All-Stars and a couple other really good games, and then she got Bebe's Kids. And I remember they had babysat us over the weekend, and I'm kind of playing some of her games on the Super Nintendo, and I was like, I'll try this game out. And I was like, man, this game's boring.
This game's horrible.
Oh, gosh, yeah, but... So what I'm thankful for is NHLPA 93. I kind of hinted around to this.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. And the reason I'm thankful for this game is... I might have told the story on Genesis Gems a while ago. Shout out to Nick Stevens and Aaron Hickman. Awesome guys. Awesome show.
Heck yeah.
Oh, gosh. But I remember it was one of the first times I ever met our neighbor, Dave, and I mentioned him like on every Junkie show. The first time I ever met him, I specifically remember walking into his house. He lived on a split level, and we would walk through his basement slider door, and... Apparently, that was something that Randy, my stepdad, always did. Like, on Sundays, he would always go to Dave's house. So when he married my mom, that's what we did. We went over to Dave's house. And walk in, he's got this giant TV, and he's watching a Flyers game. And that's the first time I'd ever watched hockey in my life. And I'm hearing it on this surround sound, big screen TV he's got. I find out, I think Randy brought it up. Oh, Dave also likes video games.
Oh.
Rob, hey, there you go. So I was like, oh, it's so cool. So can I see your games? And I'm also kind of watching the Flyers game too. And I'm like, do you have any hockey games? And the first one I ever played was NHLPA 93.
That's a good one.
And it's a fun game. I started playing it in his room, his bedroom, and he had all his games in there. I remember getting so lost in the game and being so mesmerized by the Flyers game and watching my first hockey game that Christmas. I asked for a bunch of hockey stuff, and then eventually I would get, you know, a stick, net, pucks, and then eventually NHL 94, and just played those games played that sport for years. I mean, that defined my childhood. pretty much every day after school, my routine was get off the bus, run home, get my homework done, then I'm either playing video games or I'm going outside and playing hockey. That was it. So,
good times.
Great times. And that game itself, NHLPA 93, I think Rob Hubbard did the soundtrack on that. It's a really rocking soundtrack.
Is that the one that goes da-na-na-na-na-na-na when it opens up? And it's got like the really hard guitar, like the really good rock guitar. Yeah, that one's got a great opening.
Yes, I know it. Yes. Yeah, that da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Yeah, I remember that.
I played the International Hockey, like the one that came out in 92, where you pick like different countries to play as, and it's got the same theme, but it's sped up, like almost like half a beat faster. And instead of going the da na na na, it goes da na 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 da na 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 na. Yeah, it's really quick. It's a lot quicker.
Is that a Sega game? I haven't played that one.
Yeah, I think it's International. It may be International Hockey 92 is what they call it.
Ooh,
and it may be a ROM hack, but they sped up the title, and every time I hear that, I'm like, okay, here's the rock version, here's the speed metal version.
Here's our thrash version. Just imagine, like, Beavis and Butthead headbanging. Yeah,
that's rules.
All right, so yeah, that's my first retro gaming pick right there. It's kind of a random one, but, oh, and that was one of the last ones that allowed fighting. NHL licensed games.
Yeah, 94 didn't get
it. Yeah, 94, I noticed 93 was a little bit slower in the gameplay. 94 kind of sped it up a little bit, but they cut the fighting. I definitely prefer 94 over all of them for various reasons I could get into. They added a lot of bells and whistles to 94, but... that was one thing I hate that they cut, because that was really cool. But great game. And back in the 90s, buddy, you know, as soon as the next hockey game came out, man, those cards were dirt cheap, the old ones.
Oh, yeah, you could get them for nearly nothing, I remember.
Yeah, yeah, you'd look in the catalog of Funko Land, you know, that big paper that they'd have, Sega games, sports Sega games for 50 cents, a dollar. I'm like, oh, man, you can't go wrong. And they were great games.
I know. They were awesome games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, what about you, man? You got another game you're thankful for?
Oh, let's see. I've got a ton that I'm thankful for. Let's see. Probably if I had to go with the second game that I'm thankful for. Oh, this one's hard because there's a lot of number twos that I could pick.
Oh, you can talk about more than one if you want.
I'm probably going to say, and this is one of my favorite games of all time, WWF WrestleFest.
Nice.
That is like the game that I measure all of the wrestling games against. Like, Fire Pro's good. Fire Pro is kind of its own thing, though. But, man, like, arcade-style wrestling games, WrestleFest was where it was at.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's just a fun game. You get up with a couple of your buddies and play. And,
oh, yeah.
Then you have to defend your belts. It's fun.
We would, I know the arcade at home had one of the four-player things, and like you would get tag teams and you'd have tag team matches against guys at the arcade, and you know the winner would get to stay, and then you know you'd see other guys like saying, hey, well, who are you good with, who can you use, and then you know you'd have other teams come up and challenge you. And then the Royal mm-hmm. Rumble, like the Royal Rumble was where, you know, like it's like, well, if you weren't on a tag team, you wouldn't be that good. And then like the guys who were winning the tag team would get beat on purpose just so they could do Royal Rumble mode and show everybody that they were good. Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah, man, I had a ball playing with you the other day.
That was fun. Yeah, were we demolition? I can't remember. Were we demolition?
Yeah. We were. Yeah.
Yeah, we were demolition against Legion of Doom. That was kind of a cool fight.
That was a good time, man. Yeah, I love that game, and a lot of the other Sega Genesis WF games back in the day. They were a lot of fun.
Royal Rumble. You know, me and Nick Stevens talked about Royal Rumble for Genesis on one of the Genesis Gym shows. That was probably the first wrestling game that I ever rented, and I really got into it. Well, that and WWF WrestleMania Challenge for the NES. That was another one.
Oh, I remember that one.
That one was weird. It had, like, the isometric ring.
Yeah, yeah. And then, is that the one where Andre the Giant was in it?
I think the roster was Andre the Giant, Rick Rude, which was kind of cool, Brutus the Barber Beefcake. He was the first level. Big Boss Man, Jim Duggan, Hulk Hogan, Macho King, and Ultimate Warrior, I think, was that roster. And then the guy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Who you had to play as to do the story.
Oh, gotcha. That's cool. That you had to kind of move up the card.
You had to move up the card, and it was like a tournament. Like, it was the world heavyweight tournament, and, like, the first round was you versus Brutus Beefcake. Poor Brutus.
That's cool. Poor Brutus.
It wasn't very good.
But he did have Shears.
He had Shears, and then when you got up to Hulk Hogan, like, when you got up to Andre the Giant, they started getting more difficult. I think the final four were like Andre, Macho King, and that was when he was the Macho King. Like, it doesn't say Macho Man Randy Savage in the game; it says Macho King, and he's got the crown on for his like profile picture.
Was that when he won the King of the Ring that year? Or
yeah, that was
where did he get the?
That was when he had like the big huge crown that had like the big round like circle and the cross of it, the big like round jewel, purple jewel.
That's right. And Sherry was his manager.
Yeah, and he had like the scepter and like the big like silver robes, and he made him carry him out to the ring.
They were so good back then, Sherry and Macho. They were just both so crazy together. It was perfect.
They were awesome to watch together. Like some of those like matches with those two where she's managing him, oh my gosh, they play the perfect heels. Perfect.
Yes, Yeah, I completely agree.
Ooh, yeah, grasping at straws. You guys are, yeah. You say that you got Miss Elizabeth's secret ingredient, yeah, which allegedly makes you see the light. Oh, no. Sensational Sherry, tell these guys what it's really like.
Hulk Hogan, booted thief, you say you drank from Miss Elizabeth's secret potion. Let me tell you, you have never been misguided more in your life. Just like you, Hulk Hogan. Just like you fooled all your little puka maniacs, so Miss Elizabeth has you fooled also. She has you seeing things and believing things that are never going to happen. No, her potion is nothing more than a mild raspberry Kool-Aid or whatever it is. It's nothing. Things that are never going to happen, Hulk Hogan. Madness. Madness is in her eyes. Madness with that Kool-Aid, and that's going to destroy.
Like it, yeah! You guys, yeah, with all your Greek mythology, studying your history books, you might as well take those pages and tear them up, throw them up in the air and use them as confetti, yeah! Because you say that Zeus is not a god, but I am here to tell you that he is a modern-day god, yeah. And at SummerSlam, you'll learn that, yeah. We'll take you to school! Telling you, Zeus, yeah, these guys think that you're not their maker. I'm telling you, at SummerSlam, you'll learn that Zeus is your master, yeah!
You're Undertaker.
Oh, man, well, that's a good pick, man. I'm going to lump, for the sake of time, I'll lump three of these together because they're all RPGs.
Lumpy.
Love, love, love. And I just played it again for the first time.
I know what it
is.
I know.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead. I'm just telling everybody, I know what you're going to pick.
Oh, okay. Well, I you know what? I think I know. Oh, yeah. I had a feeling you would think that. Yes, I normally do play Shining Force. But I haven't played it yet. I've got a couple days left. I know. It's November 20th as we're recording this. I definitely have to get it in before Thanksgiving, eh? But I was actually going to say Final Fantasy VI.
Oh, yeah, that is a good
one. Or 3. Yes, I got my old Game Boy DS out, and I've got the remake on there, the Final Fantasy VI Advance version.
That's a good one.
Oh, it's been wonderful to kind of go back through that. I have not sat down and actually played this game in several years, and I'm already at the part where Cyan, remember where the water gets poisoned and all Cyan's men get killed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm at that part right now, and I'm like, oh my gosh, just flooded with a bunch of nostalgia, because this was probably the first, it wasn't the first retro role-playing game I ever played, but it was the first one I actually sat down and beat.
Yeah.
And stuck with it long enough to actually beat the game, and it, the soundtrack, the characters, the diversity of the characters, and the fact that you get separated so many different times, and you're playing as so many different characters throughout the storyline. It was just a great game at the time.
And Kefka. Kefka was, I think Kefka's one of the best Final Fantasy villains ever.
Oh, yeah, because he has no shame in
this game.
Dude,
he absolutely was nuts. Absolutely nuts. He was just crazy. That was like.
He reminded you of Joker, right?
Yeah, that's a really good comparison. Yes, yeah, like he wasn't like out for world domination. He just wanted to blow the world up and rule everything just to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it was something to do, just because it was like a Tuesday. Yeah, I'll just blow everything up. It's Tuesday. Why not?
Exactly. So yeah, another pick that was huge in my childhood, and I've talked about it ad nauseum, is Pokemon Red. Man, that game.
That's a good one.
Just the idea, and oh, and I read an article on it. The Game Freak developers originally wanted to release it many years earlier for the Game Boy, you know, all the way back in like 91 or 92. Yeah, for whatever reason, the idea got sidelined for a while.
Do you think it would have flown in 92, though? Do you think
good
it
question.
Would have, do you think it would have been as impactful if it had been released in 92?
I don't know. I don't know. It might have been overshadowed by some other RPGs at the time.
I don't know. See, that... Ugh.
They didn't have link cables then, did they? For the Game Boy, did they?
They had link cables, but, like, not a lot of people had them. Like,
oh, okay.
It was one of those things, like, you only had one, like, if your brother had a Game Boy and you wanted to play against each other.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's a great point. Maybe it wouldn't have taken off the way it did. Yeah, because it came out, what, 97, 98?
And yeah, I remember I was in middle school, so it was like 7th, 8th grade for me when it came out.
Oh, same. I was in 7th grade, and it was everything I ever loved. It's an RPG with so many different monster characters that you can collect. So it kind of scratches the RPG itch. You got a little bit of a storyline, but also it scratches the collector itch that people have, you know. Oh, and then trading. So you had to be kind of social and interact with other players to get your entire decks filled. It hit me at the exact right time, and it still hits me to this day. I love the franchise. I played a lot of the games in the series, and I'm currently finishing up the Pokedex on Pokemon Shield before I move on to Arceus. And then I know Scarlet and Violet just came out.
I was gonna say, have you got Scarlet and Violet yet?
Not yet, man. Not yet. I don't know. I'll probably end up buying them anyway. Play them next year. And then I'll say this. I'll say this last one here, and I'll hush and let you talk. But Suikoden 1 and 2. Suikoden has got to be my all-time favorite RPG ever. Building the army the way you could.
That was cool.
Oh, yeah. The storyline hit me so hard. And I don't know. It's just out of all of them, that one seemed to be the story that I loved and I related to the most. And it shook me when certain characters died and they did not come back. It was kind of like, what is that called? The other series that where characters die, they're dying.
Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem, thank you very much. Yes. So, I mean, every decision you made was a big decision, and you couldn't go back and change it. And you got so attached to certain characters. And it kind of had the Pokemon effect, too, because you could recruit so many characters for your army. I mean, you had not just your main characters, you know, your core characters, but you had all these other characters that you would have your own empire, and you would recruit certain characters in each town, depending on how you corresponded with them, what you did, the decisions you made, whether or not they would join you. And it was cool. It was like Shining Force. You could recruit some. They'd be in your fort, and you could talk to them while they're in your fort. And then you had big, giant battles between other enemies. And sometimes, during those battles, you had zero control of whether who was going to live and who was going to die. So it was a nail-biter every single time.
Wasn't there 107 characters in that? Because they were the 107 stars of destiny or whatever that you had to collect to get everybody in your army.
I think you're exactly right. I think it was.
I remember seeing that
100.
And be like, dude, that's overkill. That's got to be a hard game.
Oh, I've never gotten anywhere near that many, but oh man, it was fun. I'll never forget the scene where Gromino dies in the game. I remember that really shook me as a kid or a teenager.
Oh, poor Gromino. He was.
I know. I loved him.
He was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, and the soundtrack, very underrated. The first two games were just wonderful. Three was pretty good for the PS2, from what I remember. Four was a little bit of a letdown for me. I remember getting that on the PS4, or excuse me, the PS2. And I think I dropped off after four. I don't know much about some of the later ones.
I think they had like a tactics game and several others before Konami kind of quit making games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those three RPGs, Pokemon Red, Final Fantasy VI, and Suikoden, man, they were a huge part of my childhood. I'm very thankful for all three of them.
Those were good. Those were some good picks. I'm trying to think of some other honorable mentions I might have. Batman for NES is always going to be held a special place in my heart. I love that game. I think we did a show. We did a show on Batman because I remember I got so close to beating it for the first time ever, and I could never get past Joker.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah, you know, I love that game.
That's where I sang the Batman song. Gonna show you my Batman. What are some other good games that I really enjoyed that I'm thankful for? Chrono Trigger, of course. I gotta throw Chrono Trigger in there because that was the game for me that kind of is like, oh wow, you can feel emotions for these characters and understand where they're kind of coming from in life and identify with them.
That's a great pick, and honestly, if I had played that when I was younger, when I was a kid, it would have done the same thing for me. It reminds me of Suikoden a lot. It's like a nice combination between Suikoden and Final Fantasy, but it's got its own time travel spin to it. I'm with you, man. Yeah, it's a great pick.
The whole time travel thing, and like I know the one thing that always gets me is in that game, pretty much like you're going after Magus. That's kind of like your goal. It's like, well, you gotta kill Magus and destroy him. And if you destroy him, everything will be okay. But when you get to him, you find out that he's not a bad guy, that he was misplaced. He was kind of displaced in time as well. And because he knew how to do magic and knew what was going to happen in the future, he just took advantage of it to kind of build an empire. And he was trying to get back home to save his sister that was going to be sacrificed to the main villain Lavos in the game. And you find out that, you know, they're more than just like black and white characters. They're shades of gray with all of them.
Right.
But yeah, that Magus, like, he's like, you know, I don't know why you're trying to kill me. I'm trying to get back to my home and put a stop to all this.
Yeah. Which that's just in-depth character storytelling right there. I love it. I love when you think there's a villain in the story that turns out to be, well, okay, I understand where he's coming from, actually.
Yeah, exactly. And probably my last one that I'm thankful for, and it's a really good series. Well, I guess I'll say really good. It's really good to me. Like, some people can't, they just don't like it, don't follow it. It's too weird. It's too out there. The Metal Gear Solid series. Really enjoyed those games.
The critics agree Metal Gear Solid is an absolute masterpiece. Games just don't look any better than this. The best reason yet to own a PlayStation. Metal Gear Solid by Konami.
Mm-hmm. Good pick, man.
Because it's another one of those where there aren't really good or bad guys, just people doing what they think is right who are on the opposite side from you, basically.
Yeah, I think you and Kirkland need to talk, man. I think he's played every single one of them in the series. And
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it'd be like two gurus just kind of talking about it. I've only played the Metal Gear Solid and Sons of Liberty and a little bit of Snake Eater. I remember watching you play Snake Eater a lot.
Snake Eater was a good one. It was kind of interesting with the camo and the whole you have to catch and kill your own meals before you starve to death kind of mechanic. But I'm trying to think. I've beat the first one. I've beat the second one. I've beat Snake Eater. I've got Guns of the Patriots, but I've never beat that one. And I've got Phantom Limb. And I've never even come close to beating that one. But you get a horse and you get to ride around in the desert on it. So that's kind of cool. And shoot people.
Well, you got me sold.
Giddy up, horsey.
Oh, very cool, man. Oh, great, great series, too. I'm with you there, too.
Yeah. It's another one of those that makes you think. Like, it's all about, like, you know, nuclear war and, you know, are there any, like, good or bad sides in a war, in a conflict? And what about the people who were caught in the middle that had nothing to do with either side, losing everything they've got? I mean, it's kind of heavy stuff, but I really enjoyed it.
Very nice, man. Good picks. Good picks. So what about toys, man? Any toys you're thankful for?
I am thankful for the Toy Biz Superman and Batman, like the Batman from the movie figures. I had the Superman with the kryptonite ring. He would fall over when you held the kryptonite up to him, and I had the Batman with the with the utility belt that would you could tie it around things and it would pull him up to it.
Yes, I had the Batman one. Yep.
I love those. Those were some of my favorite toys ever growing up.
Batman's battle against crime never ends. And now you can bring the action home.
Batman, ha-ha, you missed.
Yeah, but I only missed once. You can't escape, Joker.
Just watch if you can.
You won't be alone for long.
And in the Batcave.
No criminal can hide from Batman. Jail.
Each item sold separately from Toy Biz.
Oh, man. They were great. I'd never had the Superman one, but I remember getting the little black Batman with the yellow belt and then losing it at Atlantic City's beach and being devastated because I had that thing for a long time before I lost it.
And they had, like, cloth capes, too. They had, like, little, like, fabric capes that they wore. And the only reason I know that is, you know, Superman's power was the sun, so I would play with my Superman near like a light bulb and his cape caught on fire. My mom's like, you're gonna burn the house down. I'm like, no, I'm not. Superman has to get power from the sun.
It's like, surely you understand, Mom.
He'll put it out.
Oh, you know, speaking of Batman, I'm so glad you brought that up. One that I'm definitely thankful for, we talked about it on either the last episode or the one before. I found my Batman Big Wheel. I found I was like, I remember it being kind of gray and blue, the Big Wheel. Maybe my memory was playing a little bit of tricks on me because it was more like black and blue, I think, the one I found. But the 1989 Batman Tricycle from Play School. I did find a box, one of them. I'm like, that's the one. I had it. I remember the stickers that eventually peeled off.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That was one of my earliest Christmas memories. It was the same year I got my Nintendo, I think. And for some reason, Dad was on a Batman kick that year. I got Batman for the NES.
Nothing wrong with that. Batman's awesome.
Yeah. Heck yeah. I got the Toy Biz toy that you were just mentioning, and then that big wheel that same Christmas. And I had that big wheel for years afterwards. I remember when I got a little bit bigger, I would no longer kind of sit in it, but I would actually just put one of my legs on it and then kick with the other leg and just steer, you know, like nice. A cool kid.
You were that cool kid. You were riding your big wheel. You were bigger than it was.
Yeah.
I feel Whee!
Yeah, kind of got to represent. Yeah, right, I remember, I remember that being by dad's basement bulkhead door for years, and then finally I think he threw it away. But, the 1989 Batman Tricycle from Play School, that was one I'm thankful for.
That's a good one. That's a great one. One that I'm thankful for, let me think. I'm thankful for the Ghostbusters, Ecto-1, and Firehouse. I got that for Christmas one year. That was the best Christmas set. Well, take that back. It tied the Christmas where I got the Ninja Turtle Sewer House and the Pizza Thrower.
Oh gosh, those were two of my picks. Very nice.
Man, that Ghostbusters Firehouse and Ecto-1 was awesome.
Ghostbusters! It's the real Ghostbusters Firehouse playset.
Figment, our firehouse is haunted.
No way. Oh, no. I've been gooped.
Ghosts at the stadium.
The real Ghostbusters, each sold separately, assembly required.
Hey, buddy, see anything weird?
It's Tombstone Tackle.
Don't lose your head. Take a hike.
There's a policeman.
Oh, no. It's X-Cop.
I can't believe my eyes.
Whoa. We're not scared.
Because it had the little pole that you could put them on, and it twirled them down, the fireman's pole. What it was like a little piece of like blue plastic that had little grooves cut in it. And you put like a platform that had little notches that stuck up on the floor. And you put the notches in the holes in the bottom of the action figure's feet.
Oh, cool.
To where they would stand still. And then you could, like, kind of move the pole. You could pull it away from the top floor of the firehouse. And it would twirl down with your Ghostbuster characters, like, standing on the platform.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so great. And I know you could pour the ooze from the top, right? And it would, like,
pour the ooze from the top, and it would, like, go all the way down through all the floors.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the car, I had my car parked in the bottom, and then, like, they would ride the pole down, get in the car, and then it would shoot out. And the Ecto-1 I had was the one that had the seat on top, and it had, like, two ghost guns on the side. So somebody would always be sitting in the top seat, like, blasting ghosts as they go down the road. Oh, such good times. I love that. That was one of my favorite toys ever.
Oh, that's a great one, man. That's great. I got that one probably the year after the Batman Big Wheel. I got the Firehouse.
Nice.
Yes, because that year, too, I think my dad had like a theme every year, because that year I got my Sega, and the first three games I got were Sonic 2, Roger Clemens, and then Ghostbusters. And then that was the same year I got the Firehouse.
Two of those were good picks.
Yeah. That was awesome. So you just mentioned one that was definitely one that I had as a kid, and that was the pizza shooter, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles pizza shooter.
We got you now, Shredhead! The turtles have Shredder pinned down and are rolling their pizza thrower into position!
I'll blast you with retro mutagen!
But before he can act, the pizza thrower's adjustable aim and motorized firing action give Shredder and his henchmen their just desserts!
You clogged my gun with anchovies!
The turtles and their portable pizza thrower triumph again!
Why are we so happy? We just lost our lunch!
From Playmates!
I had that, and I loved that
thing. I loved that toy. My dad hated it, but I loved it.
I think every parent hated that toy.
If you hit me with one of them pizzas, I swear I'm going to break that thing. Told me that one day. Quit shooting them pizzas at me. It hurts.
I remember Mom vacuumed one up, and she got so mad because it got jammed in the hose. She's like, get this thing out of here!
You're going to blow the vacuum up!
Oh, gosh, yeah. But, and of course, the Hess Trucks, man.
The Hess Truck's back and it's better than ever. Christmas is here. The Hess Truck's back. Two sirens at together. Christmas is here. The Hess Truck's back. Hey, those head and tail lights shining. Hey, that ladder's really climbing. Got a secret coin bag and emergency flashers.
The new Hess Fire Truck, $8.99 at Hess Stations. Happy holidays from Hess.
89 to 99, I think it was. Maybe even up all the way up to 2000. And I think after that, I kind of quit collecting them. But, oh, man. The one that I, for some reason, seemed to stand the test of time more than any of them was like the 1994 one. It was the fire truck one with the extendable ladder.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Oh, man, yeah, that thing would not die. That thing I had been through all get out, and still, I for whatever reason, I had still kept it. And I've still got a bunch up in the attic that my dad had kept over the years. Not many. There's like probably about four or five left. But, yep, love those trucks. But, golly, they're getting expensive now.
Yeah, it's they're like, collector's items.
Yeah, it's like $40 or $50 a truck now, where it used to be 15 or 20. So, and yeah, I don't think you can even get them in the stores. You have to order them online.
I think, yeah, I think you have to order them, because I know there was a gas station up in Asheville that sold them in store. And then I went into that a few years, and I'm like, a few years ago, actually, I'm like, where are the Hess trucks? They're like, oh, you have to order them. We can give you an order for them. I'm like, nah, that's okay. That's cool.
Yeah, that's a good website, eh?
Yeah, I'll just get them online.
Kind of takes the mystery out of it anymore, you know, the thrill of the chase.
The boxes were always so cool for those. Like, they had, like, hand-painted, like, pictures of the truck and, like, in, like, different scenes on the box, like Christmas scenes. It was so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I was, like, the one. It was, maybe 1991. It was a trailer. It was a truck that had a trailer, and then inside it was a little race car that lit up, too.
I remember that. I think I had the one maybe a few years after that where it was the truck, and it lit up. And it had a trailer, and it had, like, a Ferrari that would back off of it. And, like, the Ferrari, you could push it, and it would, like, go, or you could pull it back.
Oh, cool.
And it would zoom out. It was one of those kind of cars. I remember that. I remember thinking that was the coolest, like, Christmas truck I've ever seen.
Yeah, and then you had, like, your little bonus vehicle. It was cool.
Heck, yeah, and then the truck would try to catch it, but he never could.
A dang Ferrari always got away.
Ferrari always got away.
So, what about you, Jose? You got another one?
Oh, I'm trying to think of one other one that I was always, like, super duper thankful for toy wise. I know this one, and a lot of people are going to be like, "What the world?" Do you remember the creepy crawlers? Like,
oh yeah,
it was like the Easy Bake Oven for boys, but instead of making cookies, it made like rubber worms and stuff.
I had one
of those as a kid, and I loved that thing.
Creepy crawlers.
They're squirmy and wormy and purple and green. The grossest little creatures that you've ever seen.
Creepy crawlers!
Build a monster mold with a colored plastic goop. And make a creepy crawler from a yucky monster soup. They're ucky, yucky, squirmy, wormy, very scary, sometimes hairy, squiggly, wiggly, creepy crawling.
Creepy crawlers!
Gross out your sister, embarrass your dad. You can be a little creep without being bad.
Creepy Crawlers Workshop with plastic goop.
Oh, gosh, I remember the commercials, too. The creepy crawlers.
Yes. I would make centipedes and, like, snakes. And I think I had a set where you could make, like, pencil toppers that looked like trolls. And they came in, like, troll colors, like green and brown. And you could put hair on them and stuff. Oh, that was so much fun. I love those things. But, like, we could never find a light bulb that would, like the light bulb that it recommended, so I had to use one that was a couple of watts weaker, and it would always take a little bit longer to cook. But you know, now that I think about it, that was a horrible, horrible toy for kids. You've got like metal molds that you're heating up in a light bulb oven and I touched one of those once and it burnt like a huge blister on my finger. But you know, you would take them out, and then you would put the molds, or we would put them in water to cool them off. Mm-hmm. And then you'd get the mold out, and then you would get like a little plastic knife that came with the creepy crawler oven, and you would like just kind of ply the new bugs out of the molds and play with them. I had bugs everywhere when I was a kid from that thing. I loved that toy though.
It was really cool. I never had it, but I always wanted it. I remember the commercials would play all the time, and I was like, they look so fun. And I remember even the box art for the toy looked so cool.
The boxes were cool. And it was, like, cool colors, like neon green and orange.
Purple.
And it had, like, a little thing you could view them cooking inside, like a little, like, clear piece of plastic you could view through to look at them, like, cooking and bubbling up inside. It was cool.
Oh, man, those were good times, man. Just a couple of honorary mentions real quick is my Fisher-Price hockey net.
Nice.
Oh yeah, and then I had an adjustable one a little bit later that I could kind of keep in the car with me. And a real quick side story is my first date with Christabeth. The first time I think she was ever over at our house, we ended up watching a movie, and then as we were waiting for her mom to pick her up, I had my old hockey net outside. It was a steel net there, and I don't know if you remember, Landon, but I used to tie milk jugs to it.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. So
hit the milk jugs.
Yeah, And so Christmas, she grabbed the hockey stick and she's like, "You mind if I take a shot?" I was like, that'd be awesome. And her first shot, dude, she nailed one of the milk jugs hanging up on this on the net. And I just looked at her and I just gave her a hug. I was like, "I think I love you." I gave her a big old hug. I was like, "I think that's what I knew. Deep down, she's the one."
she can shoot a milk jug out.
Dude, she is strong. She is stronger than you would think. She is a spunky, strong woman. Yeah, but she's a pretty good athlete. I've always been really impressed with her. And you know, anytime we get to play some sports, she's got the gift, man. But anyways, yeah, a bunch of hockey nets over the years. That my favorite one was the adjustable one. I can keep my car with me everywhere. So you know, anytime we wanted to drop and play some hockey, we could.
That's right. But remember that.
Oh man, good times. So real quick, man, I know we're running low on time already, but any TV shows that really stood out to you growing up? Anything you're grateful for?
Oh gosh, there's a bunch that I could say. There's a ton that I could say. Big fan of Ghostbusters. Big fan of the Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
The Mario Brothers cartoons that came on that were based on Mario 3 and Mario World are some of my favorites. Probably one of my favorites still today, and I can still go back and watch it and really enjoy it, is Batman the Animated Series.
That has aged so well.
That's such a good portrayal of Batman. And I know his voice actor, Kevin Conroy, just died here recently. But, like, whenever I think of Batman, I think of his voice. And that's how I read the Batman comics that I have, are in that Kevin Conroy Batman voice.
Oh, man. Nobody did it better than him. He had such a great voice for that character. And did it for so long, even in the video games.
Yeah, no, it's so good. And, like, the quality of that Batman voice, that's what I, as a young kid, always imagined what Batman sounded like. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's what he sounds like in my head. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Good pick. Yeah, dude, you mentioned the Turtles. I mean, that was the one that started off for me. Yeah. I watched the Turtles religiously after school because I didn't have many friends growing up, in Gloucester City at least. And so, you know, right after school, that's all I wanted to do. And I'd run home real fast. And I think it'd be on at right around 4 or 4:30. And, you know, I'd get my homework done, watch some Turtles. And then eventually X-Men and Spider-Man and Power Rangers were, like, the thing for a while.
Nice.
Oh, man. And speaking of Power Rangers, you know, as we're recording this, another icon, Jason David Frank. You've heard about that today, right?
Yeah, I read about that. It's
heartbreaker.
That's a hard one. That's rough, dude, because you could never beat the Green Ranger. I don't care who you are, you could never beat him as a kid.
I think universally, he was probably the most popular Power Ranger. Was Jason David Frank in the Green Ranger or the White Ranger. I mean, he was the one as a kid. I remember when he turned. I remember the whole story arc where he turned. He was the Ranger that was hypnotized into attacking the other Rangers, and then eventually he turns into the good guy. And I just remember thinking, there's a Green Ranger? What? That's crazy.
Because
the Red Ranger was my guy until the Green Ranger showed up. And I'm like, oh, he's cool.
And then everybody wanted the Green Ranger. And you could find Red Rangers everywhere.
Right, exactly, right? So yeah, man, as I'm looking at my little nightlight, it's not the one I had ever since I was a kid, but it's another version of it. But I'm grateful for the memories of the Green Ranger. My heart breaks for the hard times he went through. I'm sure it's going to be a hard blow for his family, and I my heart and my prayers go out to his family. But hopefully, if there's any solace, it's the fact that I think he made a difference in a lot of people's lives. You know, that character and that role model that he played. So, yeah. Sad times.
Welcome, Power Rangers. This promises to be a momentous occasion. You're about to meet the newest member of your team. As you are aware, the Green Ranger's power was completely decimated by his last few battles. Alpha and I felt it was time to create an even more powerful Ranger to combat Lord Zedd and his diabolical evil. To that end, a candidate was selected, and a new Power Ranger was created. And now, my friends, I present to you the White Ranger. White Ranger, the time has come to reveal your identity.
Guess who's back?
I don't believe it.
What's up, man?
You look good.
Thanks, man.
We didn't know who it was going to be.
We were all hoping it would be you, especially Kimberly.
Speaking of Kimberly. Hey, beautiful. It's time to wake up.
I don't believe it. I must be dreaming. Is it really you?
In the flesh.
Man, awesome. Simply awesome.
It's fantastic.
Ay, 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 ay. All this human emotion. Oh.
So, Power Rangers, may I assume that you are pleased with the new leader of the Power Team?
This is great.
I'm sorry for being secretive. We had to guard against Lord Zedd's interference.
But sort on how? I mean, I thought that Tommy lost his powers for good.
Not Tommy's. The Green Ranger's powers were gone for good.
That is correct. However, Tommy has proven himself to be worthy and true. His courage, strength, and honor allowed us to choose him to be the new White Ranger. This time, his powers have been created by the light of goodness and can never be taken away by the forces of evil.
The new Ranger will control the White Tiger Zord, a Zord of strength and fierceness. He will carry an enchanted white saber known as Saba. Saba will assist the White Ranger in battle as well as control the new Zord.
Extend your hand, White Ranger, and accept all that has been granted to you. Congratulations, Tommy. You are now the leader of the Power Rangers.
Oh, man, it's good to be back.
I'm down. I'm depressed now, man.
Yeah, we gotta get back up, man.
We hit a real low note here.
Yeah, we sure did. Well, I'll tell you, I'll bring us back up with some Goosebumps. We were talking about some Goosebumps last episode.
Goosebumps, man.
There's a TV show I'm thankful for.
Tell you another TV show I'm thankful for, the original X-Men, the Saturday morning, afternoon cartoon. I love that show.
Dude, X-Men, like I said, Turtles and X-Men were probably the two biggest shows I watched. I'd say X-Men even more than the Power Rangers. I loved the Power Rangers, but the X-Men, oh, man. And then the comics, when I would see them in some of the dollar stores, like the bundles of the comics, I would collect them, and then I'd try to watch the cartoon as well. I remember the Fleer cards, the cool X-Men cards you could collect.
Yeah, they had really good artwork on them. I remember those.
Oh, yeah. I like the holograph ones. Oh, they were so cool. And just a wonderful universe of characters. And then eventually, I liked X-Men Evolution a lot. I thought it was a great show.
You know, I watched a little bit of that, and I'm like, this isn't as bad as people make it out to be. It's not bad. It's okay.
No, it was early 2000s show, and it was good. It came out right around the time that the 2003 Turtles cartoon came out, and I was watching both and really enjoying them. I always think of X-Men Evolution as the time right before we moved from Jersey to North Carolina. Like that, mm-hmm. I was watching the show at that time, and I remember really liking it. And it, you know, it was set in high school. And speaking of a show that was set in high school, that really right around that same time period too. What about Smallville?
You know, I tried to watch Smallville, and I watched it with you, and I really liked it, but, like, I was never home when it came on during its run, and I never got to watch it when it was on during its run, but I really liked what I watched of it. It was a really good show.
Me too. I think Ren Millsaps got me onto it, like, a long time ago.
He was a big Smallville fan, yeah.
Yes, he kind of turned me on to it. He's like, dude, you got... I think we were in college together or something like that, and in a class, and... He's like, oh, man, you got to watch it. You got to watch the season coming up. And I said, okay, I'll get caught up. So I invested in the DVDs, and then that's when I got into Superman. I'm like, oh, Superman's awesome. I don't care what anybody says.
Superman is cool. I'm still a Batman guy. Like, me and him have had some discussions about Batman versus Superman growing up. Because I was always a Batman fan. He was always a Superman fan.
Just because Batman for the NES, like, when I got that game, I always grew up liking Batman more. Until, I love both characters, but I think in more recent years, I've kind of fallen in love with Superman and a lot of his comics, but that's just because I haven't read any Batman stuff in a long time, so who knows?
I mean, you gotta read the Long Halloween?
Yeah, I've read that one. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. I'm trying to think of some other ones that I've read that are really good. Long Halloween, Killing Joke. Killing Joke's a good one.
I always wanted to read the Frank Miller one. Is it where Batman's old in that one?
Yeah, The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Returns. Okay. I've read both of those. Though Little Landon let me borrow his copies of those, and I read them. And that's a good one. That one, if you're an adult, like, you'll pick up on it really well, because there's a lot of, like, layering in the story of it that adult people will understand a lot better than kids would.
Oh, cool, man. Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
But yeah, the Long Halloween, Killing Joke's a good one. Killing Joke, there's some scenes in it that are pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much it's the Joker seeing how far he can push Commissioner Gordon before he breaks. And I'll not spoil it for you, but it ends up he pretty much, like, just starts terrorizing Gordon's family.
That son of a gun. And just, yeah, you know, he's the kind of character that would just do it to do it, too.
Yeah, and he just did it to see if he could break Gordon. And then Batman got involved. And the whole story goes... And at the very end, Batman, the Joker tells this joke because he knows he's been caught, and he tells this, like, really stupid joke, and Batman just looks at him and, like, genuinely laughs at him. And Joker doesn't know what to do. He kind of freaks him out. He's like, stop laughing. You're not supposed to be the one laughing. I am.
Well, you know, I think there was, I don't know if this was actually in a story or if maybe one of my friends had talked about it one time, you know, what would have been cool, or... I guarantee it's probably happened somewhere. It's almost like Joker needs Batman. You know, yeah, like he doesn't want Batman to die because he needs him in order for Joker to be Joker.
Yeah, because if he doesn't have Batman, he doesn't have anybody to mess with.
Yeah, he doesn't have a foil for his identity. I don't know. It's interesting to think about that. But yeah, man, real quick, what about movies? I'll go ahead and throw a couple out there real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
I am super grateful for the original Ninja Turtles movie. Can you tell I'm a Turtles fan?
That's a great one. I like that.
Oh, yeah. The 1990 first movie I ever saw in theaters. That is the movie I constantly watched over and over again, so much so that the tape actually broke on my VHS tape. Had to get a new one. But, yeah, oh, my gosh, that first movie will always hold a special place in my heart. But another one I haven't mentioned as much is... The Mighty Ducks movies, the first two, especially D2. Dude, you remember D2 when they're rollerblading in the like throughout the town?
Yeah, I remember that.
Hey, Charlie. Hey, you want to play some hockey?
Hey, Oh my gosh, that movie got me into bowling. I had to get a set of bowling plays that year.
You had to be like Averman.
Yeah, exactly. The Quack Attack is back, Jack. Yeah, and remember, Gordon Bombay kind of loses himself in all the advertising and stuff for Team USA. I love that D2 movie a lot.
That's a good one.
Oh, it's great. And then I'll throw another one out there real fast is Star Wars, of course. I didn't watch Star Wars all the way through. I remember seeing Empire first on Laserdisc, but
ooh,
I didn't actually.
Nice.
Oh, it was wonderful. And I didn't actually sit through and understand the story until Dinner and a Movie in the late 90s. I watched it on TV. I had nothing else going on that Friday night. I was going like, you know what? Dang it. I'm going to sit through this. I'm going to watch it. And I loved it. I finally got it. And I was like, this is great. I want to watch this again.
Hey, we hope you're going to watch Dinner and Movie this Friday night. We're showing a special edition of the original Star Wars.
In honor of the movie, we're being joined by our Super Chef cook-off winner who's making us Obi-Wan cannelloni.
Now, that's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Star Wars, new edition.
Same old us.
Dinner and a Movie, Friday at 8:05 Eastern.
It's a very bad feeling about this.
Only on the Superstation.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
This is one of the greatest movies ever. I love
it. Yeah. So what about you, man? What are a couple honorary picks for you?
Let's see. For movies, of course, the original Star Wars trilogy. I'm going to have to put that up there. That's some of my favorite movies to go back and watch. Ghostbusters, the first two Ghostbusters.
Ooh, I have that on my list. Yes,
those are some good ones. I think of a few more that I really just would go back and watch right now if I could. This one's kind of crazy. I actually made my wife watch this one with me. It's a horror movie called Event Horizon.
Beyond the boundaries of our universe. Who knows where it's been and what it's brought back with it.
What is that? What is it?
The ship is reacting to us and the reactions are getting stronger.
What are you telling me? That this ship is alive?
I have such one thing to show you.
Oh my God.
It knows my secret. It knows my fears.
I want off this ship.
I can't leave. She won't let you.
God help us.
It stars the guy who was Dr. Grant in Jurassic Park. And the premise of it is way out into the future, you know, they've got spaceships that can go out to Pluto and Mars and this, that, and the other. And there's a ship called the Event Horizon that sent out a distress call at Neptune. So, you know, they send a ship up and they send the guy from Jurassic Park because he's the one that created the ship. And instead of, like, going through space like a normal spaceship, it folds space in on top of itself, so it kind of creates a wormhole through space to get to where it needs to go.
Huh.
And you know, with wormholes and folding space and stuff, that it can only lead to badness, but eventually you find out that the dude that was Dr. Grant that built the ship was possessed by the devil to build the ship, because instead of folding it in on space, the ship went through hell.
Oh, wow.
And it picked up things along the way that nobody was aware of. And that's why the ship would know your deepest fears, and it would use them against you until it eventually killed you. And that's how it's killed off people in the crew. It was a good movie. It's called Event Horizon. It's really good. It's one of the first scary movies I remember watching. I watched it with my grandma, and she loved it. She's like, oh, wow, this is awesome. People are getting killed left and right. I'm like, yeah, they are.
Oh, it sounds really good. I'll have to check that one out, too.
It's a good science fiction, like, space horror movie.
Ah, you give me some homework. You know, some Batman comics I can need to read. And
Batman and scary movies.
Heck yeah.
I'm trying to think one final. Let me think of one final movie that I'm thankful for. If I had to say, it's probably Star Cops.
Oh, there's a classic right there.
That was a classic.
That's a movie that's got... Guys, you gotta see it. I wish we could find it. That's the one that got away.
That and Legends of Backyard Football.
Now, that one, I'm okay if that one goes away. That's got some incriminating stuff on there.
That's got some adult language and situations in it.
But Star Cops wasn't that bad. But it was it was a one take little story we did where we were doing like a cops episode. But Landon was Darth Vader, and he apparently is picking up my wife in the video, and I catch him. I'm a police officer.
It was a sting. I was set up.
Yeah, no way. You were caught, eh?
She was a lady of the knot.
So Landon's picking up this lady of ill repute, and I confront him, and then we have a lightsaber duel and everything, and eventually I take you away. I arrest you.
You threw me in the back of your Kia Rio and hauled me off to space jail.
Space jail. our friend Michael, he was like, oh, I'm going to edit it, and I'll give it back to y'all. And we never... I don't know what happened. He had it for years, and we always meant to do something with it, and we just got lost over time.
Legends of Backyard Football is out in the world somewhere.
And like I said, if that ever gets out with me being a teacher now,
I'm going to tell you, though.
That's my job.
That was the greatest 30-yard field goal on a broken leg that I've ever seen.
I was the hero that... But gosh, we had the whole crew. That was so special at the time. Oh, you know.
I was so cold.
Oh, yeah. I had to
wear that skimpy outfit.
Yeah, I have to keep this PG, so most of the characters' names we can't even say on the show.
Well, we can say Randy the Nice Bum.
That's about it. That's about all we've got.
Yeah. Lynn's character, who wore the hula skirt and the hockey pads.
Yes, yes.
But that's all he wore.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. We were very different people back then.
One of the funniest parts was when we did the coin toss, and Randy the Nice Bum said, hey, money, and like grabbed it and ran off with it. He had like a bread bag for a shoe.
Oh, he was great. He was great. Oh, gosh. I remember Lynn right up the middle.
And then little Landon, he had the...
Yeah, well, you know, he roomed with you in the Caribbean League.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Oh, well, to tie it back to movies real quick, I got two more that I forgot to mention, and I'll just make these quick. Rocky and, well, actually, excuse me, three. Rocky, X-Men, and Spider-Man 2. Oh, those movies.
Those are all just great picks. I like all those. I endorse those picks. Especially Rocky. Oh, Rocky's so good.
Oh, it's timeless. If you ever want to have a movie that's going to pump you up and make you feel like, you know what, I'm not washed up. I can still do something cool. Watch Rocky. It makes you feel good every single time.
And then Rocky 2. You got to watch Rocky 2 after.
Yes, yes. Where he finally wins, eh? Beats Apollo.
Comes over his self-doubt and...
Mm-hmm.
I did it.
Oh, it's a classic. I always like
that scene
where
he yells, I did it, was always one of my favorites.
Oh, man, so good. So good. Yeah, well, man, golly, we're already over an hour. It's past our bedtime, man.
I know, and everybody's probably tired of hearing us talk about stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. We apologize, but thanks for sticking with us if you have.
Yeah, really, we appreciate you.
Yes, and we wish
we're thankful for you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's like pull Chief Wiggum. We're thankful for you. And just stare at the camera.
I love Chief Wiggum.
Oh, we forgot to mention The Simpsons. There's a big part of our childhood right there.
That's another cartoon that I'm thankful for because I still watch that.
Me too. Me too. That's a classic. But well, guys, we thank you so much for listening to us, and we thank you so much for sticking with us over the years. We have been podcasting off and on for pretty much since late 2012, which is hard to believe.
We were back in the teens.
Back, yeah, I know. It's hard to believe, but it's been a wonderful ride, and no joke. I know This is, you know, sappy hour right here, but
sappy hour.
dude, I'm thankful for you, Landon. I'm thankful that we seriously, you were sending me some pictures.
I'm thankful for you too. Yeah, those pictures. I looked at those and I'm like, golly, we've been through some stuff.
We've been through some stuff, man. We were best men in each other's weapons.
We were best men in our weapons?
Yeah. Lock and load.
each other's weddings. We've helped each other move millions of times. We've been through a lot, man, and I'm grateful that we use this podcast as basically just an excuse to hang out.
Good, you know, chopper.
I'm really
sorry.
I'm just laughing
about that you sent that to me. Cheers for get to the chopper.
I'll tell you, alphabet with Arnold. That's the way to learn.
That is. I wish I had that as a kid.
Oh, gosh. Well, guys, well, thank you so much for listening. Thank you guys for, sticking with us all these years. And we hope that y'all have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your families. You know what? In honor of Jason David Frank, we encourage you guys to go check out some great Power Rangers episodes this week and just to have an amazing retro Thanksgiving. If you want to send us an email, our email is trjsupershow@gmail.com. We are on Twitter @RJ_Supershow and also on Instagram. I think it's @the_retro_junkies. I don't know.
Put me on the spot.
Too many. I can't keep it all straight. Now I do have some bad news, guys. I just found out. I got an email about it not too long ago that our Hoser hotline is no longer available. We're gonna have to get a new Google Voice number for it. That's okay because I don't think anyone ever actually called.
Yeah, they're just like, I'm not gonna call those guys. They're weird,
right? But you know, for those of you who are considering it in the future, just to let us know how big a hosers we are, we'll get you new Google Voice number so you can give us a call. We would love to hear from you. And Landon, I think the big question we want to know is what types of wings we gonna get to go, eh? Before Thanksgiving this week.
Oh, I think I'm probably gonna get some. Pumpkin pie and pecan pie flavored.
Ooh, that sounds
good. Because I like dessert.
I'm going to get some of that pistachio flavored wings, man. That sounds good.
Pistachio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, with a little bit of graham cracker, like breadcrumbs all over it. Oh, that sounds wonderful. All right, guys. Oh, and a side of cranberry sauce. Sweet tooth. Even though the wings are already sweet. Okay, I need to stop talking.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine.
All right, guys. Well, hey, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Landon, happy Thanksgiving to you, my friend.
Yeah, man, happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
All right. Well, guys, y'all have a great one, and good day and good gaming.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
He really, man, he could do cool stuff on a skateboard, too, growing up.
I remember we would go to some of the like church parking lots, and he'd be doing a bunch of crazy stuff.
He'd line up picnic tables and, like, skate off of them and do stuff.
Yep, that's a good time, man.
Yeah, we were just a bunch of dirt bags hanging around.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Good times being a dirt bag.
Darn right. Of course, I'm going to cut this, but I'll never forget Robin, Lynn's mom, seeing me, and I'm thinking he's there, and he's not there, and she just sees me in my costume. She's like, oh, my God.
You have the Billy Bob teeth and like the Death Leopard like headband on. Hey, Lynn here. I think the boys are downstairs.
I thought Lynn was messing with me. I thought he was pranking me or something because he was like, oh yeah, we're going to meet. And I thought he meant at his house. I didn't know they were going to meet like somewhere in Ingles or something, but oh, that was terrible. So I'm sitting on the couch watching TV with Rob.
Get to see men in a hula skirt with a pair of hockey pads on.
Yeah.
You get to see me in a tight pink t-shirt with short shorts on.
You were such a great commentator, too. You were really good.
It was all just ad-lib. Like, kind of what I do on this show, it was all just ad-lib.
Oh, see, you had podcasting skills way before we even tried something like this.
The greatest line I go was when Lynn takes his shirt off and go, my God, that's a white Irishman. He's just blinded everyone in the stadium.